Got to get into this, Lee. Coming up at 8:20, the potentially fatal mistake 4 out of 5 parents make when driving their kids to school.
Fatal mistake.
Yes.
Yikes.
In the morning. Yes. This is very interesting.
That's a little serious.
Yes, it is very serious. But first, we're going to get into what's going on with the midterms. There's a lot of good here and a lot of bad here. I mean, it's very mixed. President Trump, I mean, historically has outperformed what happens in midterms. He did. This was not some kind of mandate from the American people. This was not a crushing defeat, as it will be painted today by the lying mainstream media.
Yeah, I know. But still, it's not a whole lot of solace can be taken. And yeah, well, you didn't lose as bad as the last guy did. So.
Yeah, I know. But I suspect what we're going to see when we get all this together is that, you know, if you look at the Republican Party and the postmortem they did after Romney lost, the conclusion was that we're a shrinking party. We're going to be a regional party, and there's no way to grow the vote except by going after Hispanics, so we're going to have to do amnesty. I mean, that was what the postmortem published by the RNC said after Romney. They got it dead wrong. And Trump is expanding this party. And what you saw yesterday, when you looked at the turnout that we had, you know, yesterday, for instance, I get my news from, you know, 106.3 from the newsroom.
Yes.
And you talked about, in what you guys sent out last night. Darn, I had this in front of me. The record breaking, doing this off the top of my head, the record breaking.
There's record breaking absentee.
Absentee. Thank
balloting.
You. 46%.
Yeah.
Massive numbers.
Huge.
Huge. And darn, I had it right in front of me. And now I don't. Ah, darn it. Anyway. But the numbers were massive here, right? And this is a pretty red state, particularly in the upstate still and all of that. So, I mean, these were huge Republican numbers, right? What we showed yesterday, we can counter them vote for vote. We showed that.
Yeah.
We proved that. I think there was a blue wave yesterday. I think there was a red wave, too.
Yeah.
And it washed out. But for Trump's expansion of the party, we could not have countered what should have been a swamping.
Yeah.
No, by that.
I will concede that point. I think you're right that this could have been a huge crushing defeat.
Under the old GOP ways of running, we would have been crushed.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you look at this number one issue that people said was health care, but number two right behind it, the number one was at 23%. Number two right behind it at 21 was immigration. That was huge. And again, when you look at Florida and the exit polling for the Trafalgar Group, I keep coming back to this. Trump, DeSantis and Scott won the governorship and the Senate seat, taking a Senate seat from a Democrat with 14 and 15% of the black vote, respectively. The black voters gave that state to the GOP last night. Mm-hmm. I can't emphasize how big of a deal that was. And by the way, I got the number wrong. Trump did not do 6 percentage points with the black voters in 2016 in Florida. It was 8.
No.
It was 8. But still, that's an almost doubling of the black vote. That is a national statewide record for a Republican. The highest ever done again was Bush in Ohio, and it was 12 points. They got to 14 and 15. That's never been seen before. And so Trump has grown the party, and the growth in the party that we have seen, a doubling, near doubling of support by black voters, kept that state red. And that would have been devastating for the presidential campaign trying to win Florida with Gilliam as a popular governor. We're not going to have to face that now. Black voters did that because he grew the party. And when you look at the trend, the doubling of support among black voters, again, for Democrats, it is incredibly toxic for them. If they go below 85% black vote, they are in trouble. They're going to have to figure out how to grow their party. And we are right on the margin of that. So, I mean, Trump doubles this support again or even grows it by a third by 2020 at the rate he's going with the wonderful conversation he's having with black voters about sovereignty and liberty and freedom and economic growth and them being a part of it. And they're being talked to in a way the Democrats never talk to them. The Democrats, it's, well, we'll take care of you. You can't do it yourself. Trump's like, no, you can do it yourself. Go out there and do it. And sharing this wonderful American dream. And he has included them in everything. It's awesome. He has grown the party. They saved our rear end in Florida. And I can't wait to see what the exit polls look like across the rest of the country. Because I bet you, you know, if they did that in a state with a black gubernatorial candidate on the ballot, what did they do in other states? I have a feeling African Americans saved our rear end last night. I have a feeling. I don't know yet, but I mean, we're looking at trends in the growth of the party that are good.
Yeah.
They're really good, and they never would have happened under the old leadership, which had forfeited the black vote.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I wonder if the Trump effect had anything to do with what was going on in Georgia, too, with the gubernatorial race there.
Well, yeah, and that was a close race.
Yes, and it's still, they're saying it's too close to call, but it's still like 2%.
Yeah, Georgia has been trending purple for a long time.
Yeah.
That is, not new with Georgia at all, and it's particularly the areas around
it's Atlanta.
And the areas around it.
Because there's Atlanta, and then there's Georgia.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, and they've seen the population increases, as we've seen in Charleston, that's, you know, painted it, you know, Charleston a more purple area, Georgia a more purple state. So, I mean, I think we fended that off yesterday, too. We'll see what those numbers look like.
Yeah. And
but it's exciting.
Abrams had Oprah and Obama come into the state for.
Yeah.
And she still lost.
Yep. So, you know, a lot of good news last night. I mean, Trump saved the country last night. We saved the country from a Republican Senate and a House. He did that. It was him alone. We never would have seen that before. So good. You know, there's a lot of good news there. There's a lot of good trends here. I can't wait to get my hands on the numbers. I suspect that we will see what I'm saying and more. I also fully expect to see the continuation of the erosion of millennial men who were, again, 10 points plus for the Democrats in 2016, have now, at least in polls going into the election, flipped to 10 points or 12 points, actually, plus for us. I think they helped us hold on. We've never won young people like that before. There had to have been an expansion of the number of votes in the party to counter the massive numbers the Democrats
put
up.
Now, there you go, blaming men again.
No, I'm not blaming them. At some point,
yes.
When you tell men, over and over, that they are bad, they're wrong, wrong by their nature, there is nothing they can do to redeem themselves, they are the patriarchy, step aside and let women take over. Guess what? Hispanic men hear that. Black men hear that. That message does not just go to white male ears.
Yeah.
And if you're going to disinvite half your voters, you're going to invite them to leave your party, that's got to add up over time. I can't wait to see what men did in this election.
Yeah.
Men across the board. So, and I was disappointed last night. Bobby Mack will always be my governor. I voted for him.
Yes.
And, you know, in my mind, he's my governor. So, I wrote him in. I did not win the state comptroller's race, although appreciate Bob running a last-minute campaign for me. I wouldn't know how to comptroll anything anyway.
There's a job apparently nobody wants. There was nobody that challenged, I think, Ekstrom in the primary, I don't believe. There was no Democrat opposition. You know, only various people in the write-ins that were in opposition. So.
Yeah. We would be out of comptroll if I was in control of the comptroller's office.
Yes.
So, but anyway, so yeah, all that going on. And of course, I also wrote Bob in for the soil position.
Well, of course, because you think of him as dirt anyway.
No. So anyway.
Now, we wanted to conserve dirt and water and things like that. Yeah,
absolutely.
Because we are conservatives.
Texter writes, I hope we hear more from Diamond and Silk. I believe they made a difference. Another texter writes, thank God for Candace Owens. I agree with that.
Yeah.
Another texter writes, thank you all at Word. No, thank you for listening to us on a daily basis and helping us pay our mortgages.
Amen.
We appreciate that. And finally, texter writes, voters in Georgia answered Jerry Seinfeld's stupid question. Is anybody bigger than Oprah? Yes. And he is huge. Absolutely huge with a Y. Let's jump on and see what the people think. Texter writes, even fake news, Fox News, lost more conservatives last night when they announced the Dems winning the House with an hour and a half left at the polls in some states. Did you notice how awkward it was on the set when they did that? They all knew it was wrong. You could tell it'd come from the management. Yeah, they literally probably cost us congressional seats. They essentially told people voting on the West Coast to just go home. And a lot of those seats were in California. Not a lot, but there were several. Yeah, I mean, you can't watch. I swear, increasingly I watch Fox News, and I think they are leaning so much to the left that, like, I got to go somewhere else to get information. Texter writes, having trouble coping. If the Justice Department, including the FBI, are not cleaned out, we are quickly tipping toward communism. Despair. Texter writes, Tara, big win for Trump overall, and potentially bigger win will come in 2020 when the left becomes more unhinged over 2 years. They will. And they'll overreach. Texter writes, have you talked about how everybody who voted for Kavanaugh lost? Yes. Every Democrat in the Senate who voted against Kavanaugh, who was in a swing district, lost. Let's call it Kavanaugh's revenge. Yeah, they messed up. They did. I mean, that and the caravan, two October surprises that were self-inflicted wounds on the left. But I got to tell you, folks, and I'm going to sort of lay this out. I have laid out here, and if you missed it, you can get the podcast by texting podcast to 71307. And now I'd love to hear from you. These are the kind of days I love when you do the show and tell me where you think the country's headed right now. There was a lot of good demographically in what happened last night. I think we're going to get even more, you know, even better information in the coming days. But this was devastating for the Trump agenda. I mean, it is a very rare thing for us to control the House, the Senate, and the presidency. We may not do it again for a generation. It's over. So the Trump agenda legislatively is over, with the exception of, you know, trade agreements, which only have to go through the Senate, which I think we'll probably do quite well with. He's still got a lot of trade stuff he can do. But that's it. The Trump agenda is dead. This is going to be legislative. And Lee brilliantly put this earlier. He said, listen, we're going to see now, you know, it's going to be executive orders, which is all he has left. And some of them are going to be good because he can use them to do things like challenge birthright citizenship at the Supreme Court and get rid of it. That's great. Just to even set that precedent has to be done. But the Republicans, folks, frittered away a year. They haven't done anything since tax reform. That was a year ago. We had this one last chance to secure our borders. I mean, if I could do one thing today, only one, it'd be the wall, whatever, it would be E-Verify. It will make it impossible for employers to hire illegal immigrants. I mean, right now we're still in the 1970s using paper documents that are easy to, you know, defraud, to commit fraud with. That could be easily solved with mandatory E-Verify. We had the votes in the House to do it. And Paul Ryan blocked the legislation. I had Thomas Massie on the show. He said, listen, Paul Ryan with immigration reform, Paul Ryan is the Speaker of the House. You know, normally speakers don't call for votes unless they know they have the votes to pass something. Paul Ryan, when he knew he had the votes to pass stuff that would have fixed our border problems, blocked the legislation from coming up, blocked it in committee, wouldn't let it go up for a vote. We've done nothing for a year. And so our opportunity to secure our border is drifting away from us. And I dare say it's gone. Again, there is stuff that Trump can do, but his hands are tied. His hands are tied. I mean, he literally is being blocked from enforcing sitting federal law by lunatic judges. And the judges are governing by fiat from the bench in ways that are not constitutional. They don't even have the right to do sometimes when they enjoin and block the president. Most of the time, actually. I mean, he'll go to enforce federal law. They'll say he can't. And that's because they know the House of Representatives won't stop that. Well, now that Nancy Pelosi is in charge of the House of Representatives, these judges are going to go buck wild on immigration. I mean, there's going to be nothing enforcement-wise that'll be allowed at the border. We frittered our way, our chance to fix it legislatively. We've done nothing for a year. And we may not have a chance to do it again. I mean, we could do it in the lame duck, but I don't think Paul Ryan will let it through. That's maddening. It's devastating. Even more devastating, and we are going to begin to, I mean, just this week we just saw, now we learned for the second time that the CIA is spying on staffers. Staffers, by the way, of Democrats and Republicans. This is the second time they've been busted doing that. They were spying on Dianne Feinstein and Lindsey Graham. I mean, this is a bipartisan problem. The deep state is out of freaking control. This was terrifying what they did. And we learned, by the way, from The Hill, John Solomon, that John Brennan and James Clapper knew about the illegal spy. CIA ain't allowed to spy on American soil. They're supposed to be a foreign agency, and yet they're terrorizing staffers. Again, for the second time, I can remember Lindsey Graham raging when they spied on him the first time, when they attempted to oversee them on rendition. This time they were going after whistleblowers. I mean, do you realize it's like the Eagles song with the CIA? You can check out, but you can never leave. Whistleblowers can't whistleblow right now. Because the CIA spies. The FBI is going to get away with what they did. They are now all but a secret police house organ of the Democrat Party. And by that, I mean that they will suffer no consequences for their spying and their attempts to manipulate the election. I fully expect in close races to begin to see them spying and leaking again. Keep in mind, they still have the NSA database that collects all of our emails. That's where they got Trump's from. We don't know who did it because they're defying subpoenas. We don't know if it was a contractor, somebody high up inside the FBI. We don't know, but that database still exists. And they can do whatever they want with it. Can you imagine having such a database? You could go in at any time and see the whole email history, whole text history of anybody in this country, including the President of the United States and everybody on his staff and campaign. Can you imagine what you could do with that? Nobody's watching them anymore. Adam Schiff will take over the Intelligence Committee. They are loyal to Democrats. They just got away with it. Nobody has paid a price. Comey got fired. Nobody's paid a price. Nobody. That is terrifying. When you consider that the CIA feels comfortable now spying, you can't whistleblow. You can't tell Congress the truth about what they're doing. They know they will come after you. There is an intimidation factor right now. The Democrats will run wild with it. There's nothing stopping them right now. And I've said this for a long time. The worst subpoena they defied, the FBI, was the one demanding the names of the dozens of agents that were involved in the spying on the Trump campaign, the illegal spy. They refused to turn the names over to Congress. Those subpoenas will go away. They're still there, folks. They're inside the FBI, and we don't know who they are. They're weaponized, they're embedded, and they're ready for action. It is virtually the beginning of it. If we end up with a police state in this country, remember this day. This is when they won. So losing the House is devastating. It's absolutely devastating for this country right now. It's devastating for Trump. I'm not going to lie to you about that. Oh, and by the way, watch for Google, Facebook, Instagram, everybody to begin the real crackdown. You think being throttled and in Facebook jail was bad before? Oh, you ain't seen nothing yet. All that's coming. The potentially fatal mistake 4 out of 5 parents admit to making when driving their kids to school: taking their eyes off the road. Yeah, mainly, and believe it or not, it's not the cell phone. It's because they're stressed and distracted by their kids. You know how it is. One of them in the back seat screaming and crying over something. Something legitimate a lot of the time. And you're moving and it's rush hour traffic and you can't do much about the concern. So you turn around and try to comfort them. Yeah, really dangerous. In a new study by insurance firm More Than, nearly a third of parents say that driving their kids to school is the most stressful part of the day. Over a quarter of drivers say that it's more stressful than buying a house. Oh, yeah. You kidding me? The most common reasons for stressful mornings, in my case, it's afternoons, are due to families running late, arguments between siblings, and being bored in traffic. One in 10 parents has actually crashed on their way to their child's school because of being stressed. Just got to tune it out. You do. Meanwhile, nearly a quarter of children say they get into the car before school feeling stressed, and a further 5% of kids feel anxious when they arrive to class as a result of their car ride. I'm glad I'm not the only one. My family isn't perfect, and I bet yours isn't either. This sounds exactly like us. So you know what, parents? Just focus. The kids are resilient, and even if they're having a screaming and yelling crisis, they will get over it. They always do. Let's jump on the line, the text line. Texter writes, Tara replaced Fox News with One American News Network today. I about had it with them last night. I was disgusted with what they did. I mean, we literally had results in 2 of the 28 races, 30, according to some accounts. And they declared, the polls were still open. People were voting on the West Coast. And they declared a win for the Democrats. It was awful. Texter writes, homeschool rocks. Yeah, if I had an extra 10 hours in my day, I would do that too. Texter writes, no one in politics will pay a price. Hillary proved that. It will be the American citizens that have to pay the price. Not if we keep voting like we did yesterday. Everything is changing out there in ways that we haven't even comprehended yet. Texter writes, spot on about the deep state investigations ending unless the Senate grows backbone and investigates. Chairman Maxine Waters, let that sink in. Yeah, it's terrifying. Texter writes, Trump needs to fire top down on the CIA, FBI, and Justice Department until he gets to a point where somebody will surrender the documents that are needed to prosecute those guilty of treason. Yeah, you know what? We're going to need a real prosecutor for that. There's no point in even doing it until Jeff Sessions is gone. By the way, did you see that Lindsey Graham said Jeff Sessions is going to resign? He should. Absolutely, he should resign. It is completely unpatriotic when the president who has asked you to serve has asked you to leave and you won't do it. You are undermining the republic at that point. I don't care if the president who asked you to serve is Obama or Trump or what. If they want you gone, you got to be gone. And by the way, if Obama had appointed somebody who had undermined him the way Jeff Sessions has, literally hijacking 2 years of the Trump agenda, brutalizing people's belief in Trump or willingness to believe in Trump with all this Russian crap. If this had been done to Obama and Obama asked the guy to resign and he did not, the media would browbeat him into it. Count on that. So I hope Lindsey is right, and I hope Jeff Sessions gets out of there. Lindsey said it'll be in January. I don't want to wait that long. We don't have that kind of time. He needs to go now. You just get the heck out. Texter writes here, I truly hope the Republican 2.0 continues and wasn't just a flash in the pan. Listen, as long as we have at least one person, President Trump, making the economic argument and educating people on economic realities in this country. Think about it, folks. We have not had that in my lifetime since Ronald Reagan when I was a little kid. A Republican president actually willing to explain and defend our economic policies. This is an education for entire generations who've never heard this stuff. And they're being able to see demonstrated for them the power of capitalism. It is the only reason we're hanging in there. And we got at least two more years of it. So I don't think it's a flash in the pan. I think these are seismic shifts that are happening for our country. And it's not happening fast enough. I know that. But we're getting somewhere for the first time in my adult life. Oh, yeah. Texter writes, have you seen the Project Veritas sting videos, show polls? Yes, 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 yes. Okay, well, I got to get to this. We have got to stop the voter fraud, folks. It's out of control. Says who? Texas election official. You know, Project Veritas, they pretend to be, you know, a campaign member, whatever they, or, you know, it's somebody on the side of the folks, and they show up. Okay, O'Keefe sends in a Project Veritas undercover camera to Texas election officials. And the undercover journalist tells the Texas election official her dreamer boyfriend, who's an illegal immigrant, wants to vote. And says, hey, you know, can he vote if he's registered and has a driver's license? Oh, yeah, yeah, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, he can vote. He just needs an ID. Doesn't even need a driver's license. If he has an ID, that's all he needs. If he's registered. No, that's illegal. And then she says, the journalist, right, so it doesn't matter that he's not a citizen? I saw some mess on the internet that it's not legal for him to vote because the election official in Texas interrupts, no, don't pay attention to that, bring him up here. When the Project Veritas journalist pressed the election official about her illegal immigrant dreamer boyfriend and asked if there's an issue with DACA people voting, the election official responded, no, you tell him no, we got a lot of them. This is what we're up against, folks. I have no idea. I guarantee you there were districts stolen from us last night. Guarantee it. 100,000 problematic votes in 2016 in Pennsylvania alone. Nobody's done anything about it. This is what we're up against. I mean, we got to counter their fake votes with our real votes. And still we're hanging on. Still we're hanging on. We got a lot of work to do before 2020, though. A lot of work to do. Well, I've got an emailer who has nailed this. You know what he wrote? The Trump agenda was already dead in the House because of Paul Ryan. That's true. We've been over and over that on the show. No, he has allowed the invasion. He has not smacked down these judges that are now making leftist judges that are ruling from the bench. Blocked the tax cuts for almost a year until he couldn't block them anymore. Locked them up in committee. We went over that over and over again. The Trump agenda was already dead because of Paul Ryan's speakership in the House. The House loss could be a blessing for Trump, this emailer writes. Without it, I think he loses in 2020. It's a great point. It's a great point. It's not like Paul Ryan was ever going to allow any of this. Kevin McCarthy is a Paul Ryan acolyte, and he was going to take the speakership. I don't think much would have changed. I think it would have been window dressing. So, great point. And you want to talk about a situation in which voters will not be motivated. It would be one in which we continue to control the House, the Senate, and the presidency, right? So I don't, you know what? There is a silver lining to this. There really is. And that is the best analysis I've seen of this today. The Trump agenda was already dead because of Paul Ryan. The House loss could be a blessing for Trump. Without it, I think he loses in 2020. I think he would have had a harder time. I think he would have. Folks, we need a living, breathing example of the lunacy of the left. They will overreach. Exhibit A on that is the Kavanaugh vote and what they did. I mean, you just, and when you see this, I mean, look at this headline. I haven't even gotten to this yet. This is 3 days old. Another Kavanaugh accuser admits to fabricating the rape story. See this? Saying it was a tactic to try to derail the judge's confirmation. Her name was Judy Monroe Layton. And she admits lying to obstructing Congress. All right, he didn't rape me. I made it up. She's a left-wing activist, by the way, as are all of his accusers. She was the one who wrote to Congress, I am Jane Doe from Oceanside, California, Kavanaugh raped me. She wrote an October 3rd email claiming to be a victim of the judge. She now says she did that as a way to grab attention, admitted to the false allegation, said she'd never actually met Judge Kavanaugh. I was angry and I sent it out. When questioned by the committee investigators, because they just put the big report out, she admitted it was false a ploy and a tactic. She was opposed to Judge Kavanaugh's confirmation. Can you imagine if a conservative woman did this? They would destroy her. They would bury her. The media would bury her. She'd never be able to get a job again. I mean, it would be over for the rest of her life. These are the tactics of the left. They will overreach. They do it every time. You don't say, you know what else they got? There's a problem with it, the Democrats. This truly is a problem. The candidates are insane. No, I mean, they're nuts. They can't field rational candidates. I mean, when you look at right now, Sinema right now in Arizona, and it looks like McSally will pull out that race right now for Senate, the Republican. Praising the Taliban. It's okay to go fight for the Taliban. Really? This is mainstream in the Democrat Party now. The crazy ex-girlfriend is mainstream. She's mainstream. She won yesterday, by the way. Talking about Alejandra Ocasio-Cortez. You know the crazy. Yeah, everybody has a crazy ex-girlfriend. You would not believe, since I started calling her the crazy ex-girlfriend because she's got those crazy eyes, how many people have texted me their crazy ex-girlfriend stories. You know the one. You're like, wow, she's really beautiful. I can't believe I'm so lucky she's unattached. And then 3 weeks later, you're like, oh, yeah. That's why she's unattached. She's crazy. They all are, though. No. Look at Gilliam. Under FBI investigation, he's running for governor. Beto O'Rourke? Beto, whatever the heck he calls himself, got drunk? Drunk driving, ran from the cops? Are you serious? Sinema. Yeah, no, I like it when Americans go and join the Taliban and attempt to help them kill our troops. Okay. Oh, and by the way, she says, married women, stay-at-home moms are mooching off their husbands. Seriously? I mean, did you see the first Somali-American congress member who won in, Minnesota? Is married to her brother. Not the first Muslim-American congress. Right, but she actually is the first Muslim-American congresswoman. And first Somali-born congresswoman. Married to her brother. This is who they field for. They're all nuts. They're all crazy. I mean, Stacey Abrams. Georgia, smile for the camera. Next to Black Panthers members toting ARs in their communist-style beanies? They're all nuts. I mean, look at who just got defeated in Florida by Rick Scott. The incumbent senator there, who's nuts. Oh, God, his name escapes me. He made up, he told the national media, do you remember this? That the Russians had hacked the Board of Election sites in Florida. And so, like, after 2 days of hysteria over this, the Florida Sun Sentinel finally calls around to the local election boards. Y'all been hacked? No. Like, by the Russians? No. Okay. He just made it up. They're nuts. And they can't stop them in the primaries, folks. They can't stop. They cannot, because their primary base is very radical. This is why socialists are slipping through and defeating people who are also socialists, but were at least, you know, able to kind of hide that. They understood that they had to keep that on the down low. Texter writes, damn, the crazy ones are fun, though. I know. I would hate to give them up. Yes, I want them to run. I just don't want them to win. Texter writes, did you just say the Muslim woman who was elected to Congress is married to her brother? Yes, I did. Google it. No, it's always nuts. It's all kind of marriage fraud. I don't think she was actually, I mean, that we know of, like, you know, this, having children with him. But then, I mean, she's a Democrat. Who knows? Texter writes, Tara, I'm not surprised the demographics are changing in this country, but there are a lot of conservative blacks and Hispanics in this country. We have to educate them. Yes, we do.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.